Yo, it's the LRC. The podcast was a game, we be MVP. Knowledge is power, lend an ear for the next hour. And tell these other whack podcasts to hit the showers. Cause we the best, numero uno, we like a sumo. Up against the straw weight, our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the square, circle and all. You shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal. And we some Paul Heyman's, had enough that you could say when. Until then,
here we go. Squared Sofa. This is your host, Mr. Just Right, Mikey Whitesnake. With me, as always, my boy Len. Len, how you doing tonight?
Oh, just fantastic, Mike. Just fantastic. Man, coming off the biggest party of the summer.
Oh, yeah,
just
baby.
Just trying to get, you know, get recovered. Mm-hmm. It was big. I need some hydration.
Oh, yeah.
After a big party like that.
You know, you need to get yourself a big bottle of Green Prime, baby.
That's right. Load it up.
And joining us tonight on this highway to hell, none other than our brand new AEW correspondent, host of the, we're calling it the AEW Alley. CM, he said he wants to go by CM Nick.
Okay.
That's me, boys.
Nick, how you doing tonight? And welcome to the living room.
Oh, great, guys. Thanks for having me. This is awesome. Love the show. Love the fantasy football stuff. And obviously, the squared sofa is where the money is.
That's right, baby. That's right. He's coming in pumping our tires.
That's right.
He's a huge sofa, Mark. But he's officially our AEW core. He said he just couldn't wait to get on here. He said there wasn't enough AEW talk.
Yeah.
We're going to get him plenty of time tonight to really go through what's going on over there in the dub as they get ready for the biggest
show of all time.
Somehow, some way.
Yeah. I think it's the biggest show of all time.
Yes.
Somehow. I'm not sure how.
Some thousand people?
Last I saw it was like 79,800.
Yeah.
Wow.
Somehow, that's the biggest ever, though. They've said it numerous times, it's the biggest ever. But, I mean, I know that there was 93,000 in the Detroit Superdome.
Absolutely.
So, I don't know.
The Hulkster
Superdome. Superdome.
80,000 people there.
93,000. I remember it almost to the number. I mean, it's 93,100-some. I mean, they're not going to hit 93,000. So, I don't know where this claim is that they're going to be the biggest show ever. But
maybe
me,
in Europe.
Yeah. Maybe in Europe. They did say they passed WWE's largest gate there, which was Wembley, 92 SummerSlam. That I believe.
They must be desperate for wrestling, is all I can say.
Yeah, I mean, I believe that. I think, you know, it's just also when AEW announces a card like that for overseas, it's not really an AEW. You're going to get a whole, it's like a super show.
Right.
You're going to get New Japan guys. You're gonna get,
oh, great.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's what those people like. That's what they want. It's a super show. So
80,000 people, $200,000 in revenue.
And they're kind of piggybacking off WWE being over there so much, so they all got the juices flowing. Good timing.
Yeah, for sure.
It is.
I agree.
Yeah.
That's a good move.
Yep. So we'll give AEW plenty of runway tonight.
Yeah.
We'll forego talking about our beloved NXT to make room for CM Nick. And his effusive praise for AEW. But first, we got to recap SummerSlam. No doubt about it. It was a good show, I think. The dirt's here. I'm on a dirt right now.
Yeah.
I'm looking at this card, and I'm seeing a rating here.
Uh-huh.
This is interesting. I've never seen. I don't know. Have you been on these dirts with the rating?
I've been on
before?
Dirts. I've seen, you know, matches get grades or letters or whatever. Yeah, I've seen different.
Well, this isn't Meltzer's Stars.
No.
This is.
So it actually probably makes sense.
Yeah. I don't know if CM Nick is going to bury AEW or he's here to pray.
I don't know. We'll find out. But I know CM Nick, you would think, would be a big Meltzer guy because he's tight with AEW.
I don't know. CM Nick texted me last night and said, did you hear the Penguins are trying to sign Jaromir Jagr?
Oh, my.
I said, boy, you got to be on a dark, dark corner of the internet because the only thing more unlikely than the Penguins signing Jaromir 53-year-old Jaromir Jagr, whatever he is signing our favorite hockey player in the living room, Paul Coffey.
Yeah, well, I'll tell you what. If they sign Jaromir Jagr, there better be an emergency Snake on Puck podcast immediately live. You better go live.
Oh, yeah.
Because I'll tell you what, if they sign Jaromir Jagr, I don't watch hockey at all. That's got my interest if they sign Jaromir Jagr, bring him back.
Yeah, unless Keenan's coming back for the front office or something like that, you know. But Snake on Puck only happens in emergency situations. You got the alarms going off, the red red light going off.
I know.
A pinch and a snap. I said, where is this coming from now? Where is he getting this information? So I course, you know.
The hockey darts.
Yes. And I Googled it because I'm the biggest Jágr fanboy there is. He was my hero growing up, my favorite athlete. Modeled my game after the man.
Yeah.
Don't get me wrong. I would be happy if he showed up. But I get on Google, and I Google Jágr to the Pens or whatever. And we went through this saga about a decade ago when he actually came back to the NHL. We thought it's a given he's coming back to the Penguins. Of course he is, for his swan song. And he ended up going to the Flyers.
Yeah.
So I get on there. Penguins Jesus on Twitter, Len, is where he's getting this information.
All right.
Hey, I told you I didn't know if it was a reliable source. This was more hope than fact here, but who knows?
So it would not surprise me if CM Nick is a big Meltzer guy.
At least you know that Nick's a big wrestling guy. Because when you believe the first thing you see like that, and that's a wrestling fan. Right.
Got to suspend disbelief.
I want to believe. I really do. It was like the Penguins are in the final stages of a one-year deal with Jágr. Per Penguins Jesus.
That's great. I love it.
More trustworthy than Dave Meltzer, for sure.
I love that.
Agreed.
Yeah. So, anyways, as I was saying, on the dirts here, they got a little rating for SummerSlam out of 10.
Okay.
Out of 10.
Okay.
6.67 is what this website's saying.
I was going to guess they'd say 6.5.
Okay.
I mean, I'd give it a 7.5. Okay. I thought the show was pretty good.
I would say good.
I would say it was probably a B-, maybe something like that.
Yeah.
I wouldn't go. I mean, a 66.7 is not even a passing grade. That's an F, right?
I don't know. I can't. It depends. College, maybe it would be a D.
It might be a D. Yeah.
In high school.
I mean, I think that's a little harsh. Good.
I'm pretty sure this isn't a room full of scholars, by any means. So I don't know.
Well, let's see what we think about it.
C's get degrees, guys.
That's right.
C's get degrees. All right, so let's get down into the card. To kick off the show, they just come out of the gates hot, boys. Hot. Yeah. Logan Paul comes out of the gate first, and, of course, he faced Ricochet in just a classic spot fest. I mean, this was a solid match, but some good high-flying wrestling, if that's your thing. Some obvious ad placement for the drink prime sure. Overall, hey, it was pretty good. What do you got? Anything remarkable here? I mean, I think it's about what we all expect.
Go ahead, Nick. What do you think?
That buckshot lariat. How's it feeling, Hangman Adam Page? Because your move got stolen off the apron to the floor was amazing. Yeah, and Logan Paul, I thought Pat McAfee picked it up like a fish out of water, and Logan Paul's got him beat. It's amazing. It's probably my second favorite match of the night.
Yeah.
Yeah, I mean, I agree. Obviously, we've talked about it before, but Logan Paul's a natural. Like, this is what he does better than anything else in his life. This is his calling, really, realistically. Now, he has so much money already from doing the other stuff and makes so much money from it. It's not like he's ever going to be a full-time pro wrestler, which is why would he at this point? He, like, went in a different order. But in reality, if he would have just started by trying to be a pro wrestler and never did this internet stuff, he'd also be a millionaire many times over from wrestling. Because he is a star for sure. Ricochet, obviously, is as good as anybody when you get in the ring and you want to have some cool spots and all that stuff. There's not many better than Ricochet. So it went well. And, it is what it is. Paul wins with a brass knucks handed to him by one of his cronies. So, where we go from here, Paul will show up in a few months, I would imagine, in some other match. That's what he's going to do. Maybe Cody Rhodes and Paul would be interesting at some point. Something like that. And then as far as Ricochet goes, I think he gained a little bit in this feud, me personally, because he did improve on the mic slightly each week. Was never great, but he probably went from an F to a C, I'd say, at least this time. So maybe you give him some more time, get him in the some intercontinental title picture or something like that. I think is probably what he's gonna do. But there's no clear direction for him, I would say, from here.
Yeah, I mean, this, I agree, the buckshot to the outside.
It was amazing.
Hangman's got his move stolen a couple different times.
Yeah.
The buckshot, which
it's
is
official now, though.
It's a cool move, but to the outside, took it to another level.
Yeah, that looks dangerous. I don't think, I wouldn't even recommend that very often. That seems very dangerous.
I wouldn't try it. No, the Spanish flies, of course, were cool. I mean, there was a lot of potential for things to really go wrong here, and they really didn't. They pulled it off. Logan Paul had a lot of praise for the WWE and on his podcast, you know, saying the amount of work and time and thought and philosophy behind it is more so than boxing. Yeah. And that says a lot. And that's, he brings eyes to the product, no doubt.
Oh yeah, he's there for good. I mean, they're going to keep him around as much as they can, have a match every few months. Yeah. But I mean, he's in.
They could run him back with Ricochet at WrestleMania and sure, a cage match or something like that.
I wouldn't be surprised to see him and LA Knight battle it out at some point. Him and Grayson Waller would be interesting. Mm-hmm,
yeah.
And, you know, anyone, him and Gunther. I mean, he could go in there and face anybody, and because he's really good, and he kind of rides the line. I mean, he's a heel, but the crowd loves how good he is, so he does get a lot of cheers too. So you can kind of push him either way if you really want to, although I think you should keep him a heel personally.
Agreed.
Yeah, he's a natural on the mic for sure. Crimson King was texting me during this match too and said he wants to see perhaps in the Rumble or something like that, Bunny versus Logan Paul. And I said, you can't blow your load with both those guys and say that's just asking for trouble.
I've heard that on a pod. I listen to a lot too. Pitching as maybe a WrestleMania match. It would be interesting. I'll tell you, you know, as good as I think Paul is, and I do, and he's much better than Bunny, although Bunny looked pretty good too. Bunny's never had a singles match. Really, that was a weapons match. When you have weapons, it's not the same thing. Mm-hmm. So you give him and Paul out there with no veteran to help call the match or anything like that, it's a dicey prospect. But would that be really cool to see? Of course it would be.
Yeah.
I'm not sure those two are ready to go one-on-one at WrestleMania.
Yeah. I said you need a vet in there to lead the match. If you can get both of them on the same show, I mean, obviously you got eyes. You got all the eyes on that point.
Either one of them, you have all the eyes.
Yeah.
I mean, Bad Bunny's as popular as anyone in the world. So.
Yeah, not quite as popular, Len, I think, as our favorite girl group. Blackpink,
huge. I mean, they're one of the biggest bands on planet Earth. There's no doubt about it. I'm glad you found them. I never even thought to mention them to you because you're not really you're really your genre, girls pop like that. I am a big girls pop guy, and I love Blackpink. They're unbelievable. And when you said, text me and said you liked them, I was pleasantly surprised.
CM Nick, what's your favorite Blackpink song?
Never heard of him. I'll have to give him a listen.
We'll get you. I'm sold. We'll get you up. Okay.
We'll get
you up to speed.
Yeah.
We'll get you up to speed. All right, boys. Moving on here. The trilogy completed here. We have Cody, obviously, defeating Brock in a classic Lesnar match. He's got him down and out on the ropes. Cody's beating the count outs. Comes back. Puts the Kimura on Brock Lesnar, a threat of tapping out. Ultimately, he gets the victory, and the big thing at the end was the praise from the Beast. CM Nick, any particular thoughts on this one? Were you happy with how it went? Are you sad to see Brock Lesnar go?
Well, if he goes, I would be. He's one of the best to ever lace him up, but I like the match a lot. Way too many disaster kicks from Cody. It's his worst move. I do not like it. He's got to be bust out the bionic elbow here and there. He has before, but not nearly enough. But overall, I like the match. I like Cody. I love Brock. I mean, it was good. I thought pretty much what should have happened. And then the ending with the hugs and stuff, I didn't see that one coming.
Yeah, it almost seemed like a passing of the torch, man. I'm sure we'll see Brock surface again.
I agree. I thought the match was good. Everyone knew Cody has to win the match. Right. I mean, there's no argument the other way. So, and I don't think Brock's done by any stretch. I think he's done for a little bit, probably. But I'd expect to see him around Rumble time, heading into Mania. And also, like, the handshake and stuff at the end is cool. To me, I don't know what it means, really, other than I think Brock just understands wrestling, and he knows by doing that, when he does come back, they can put him either way. They can move him either way with no problem. So whoever they want him to feud with, they can either make him a babyface or a heel very easily. And so, you know, I don't, I mean, I'm sure Brock respects Cody. Brock's a, you know, great pro wrestler. He's been around wrestling for whatever, 20 years. And Cody deserves respect. He's a great, he's a great sports entertainer. So, yeah, I think that's probably nothing more than that. But it was a cool moment. And, yeah, it was good. I liked it.
Just another.
What do you think's next for Cody now? Brock, we think, is going to take a break. Looks like a basic Monday. I know you guys, both of you guys, were a little short on watching Monday. But based on Monday, it looks like maybe him and Seth are going to flip positions a little bit. He's going to get into a feud here with the Judgment Day a little bit, maybe, but all while there's, you know, tension between Finn and Damian. I don't think they're wrestling. They're not breaking up yet. So there's still a month or two of tension. So I think you get, if you get Damian, Cody or something for Payback, let's say, or Cody, Finn at Payback, you know, that whole month and a half of them, like, you know, just being not kind of at each other's throats, but nothing happening.
Yeah.
That would be my guess.
I don't think we're on a lane for WrestleMania yet. I mean, no. I still think Cody's going to end up with one of the two championships at Mania. He's got to finish the story.
He says only Roman's title finishes the story. And I know that that's the betting favorite right now for what will happen at WrestleMania 40. I don't think that's what's going to happen at WrestleMania 40. I don't think that either what happens. But I think that's what everyone thinks. I still think the end, if Roman's going to lose at WrestleMania 40, it'll be against Seth Rollins. That's my prediction.
I'm going with Cody. I'm going with the betting favorite. That's what's going to happen. They're clearly pumping his tires big time.
Oh, yeah.
And this match against Brock is just another segment in a long Imagine Dragons-backed, montage of struggles and comebacks.
Oh, yeah. He's got more in it. He's got some more of that.
And that song, guys, I mean, it just gets louder and louder every show, people. Yeah. Now they're singing the whole thing, like we said, and that whoa part, I mean, is just, that just blows the roof off the joint.
No doubt. The crowd's behind Cody. He's getting pushed to the roof. None of that matters. Same thing with Seth. They're the same thing. But what I'm saying is, yeah, Cody's so over, and Cody's going to be fine. If he doesn't wrestle Roman at WrestleMania, he'll be wrestling whoever at the very, very top. It will be important no matter what. What I'm saying is, he's not going anywhere. Cody's not going anywhere. His popularity is through the roof.
I'm putting my money on him ending Roman's.
Yeah, that's the betting money for sure. What do you think, Nate?
Yep.
I think that's what's going to happen for sure, but it's wrestling, you never know, but that's the way I think it should end, so he can get that belt they stole off his daddy at the Garden.
That's right,
I mean, that's what they want. That's what they want you to think, No doubt. I just think, me personally, I've always said the whole Bloodline story, from beginning to end, is about family. Cody has nothing to do with them, and the better story is Seth winning, because then you get 3 months of Royal Rumble to Mania, Seth and Roman talking about their the family connection they had, this Shield, boom, 3 weeks, you just get Shield talk, Roman, I'm the top guy, said no, and then Seth beats him at Mania. That's what I personally would do. I think that's the better story. The Bloodline storyline needs to be ended by someone that's family. Jay's done now. To me, he didn't do it. Jimmy's not going to be the one to do it. Maybe Solo in a year and a half, maybe a 41, if they go that far, would be Solo. And then, to me, the only other person that's family that could end it is The Rock. He's not showing up. So there's another family, though, that Roman's a part of. Just as important as the Anawai family is the Bloodline family. So that's why I like
Seth. Glenn, I've got something. It's right there in the cards. Wrestling has more than one royal family.
It does.
Right there. Story is baked in already.
But that's, agreed. But that's not the way to go. I just don't think it's the way to go, personally.
Well, that's what makes wrestling great. Yeah. Literally anything could happen. And it's a lifetime, really, between now and WrestleMania.
Right.
So I expect around Christmas time, we'll start to get a clearer picture of what's going to happen.
The Rumble, obviously.
And we'll break it all down for you here in the living room. Don't worry. All right. This match was the bathroom break match. No doubt about it. There was just viral videos everywhere of people that couldn't get out of that arena fast enough to get to the urinals. Shayna Baszler, though, does dispatch Ronda Rousey. out of the Fed for sure by referee's decision in an MMA rules match. Guys, anything you want to add? CM Nick here. I mean, it was...
Anytime you try to work the MMA in wrestling's history, it hasn't worked. So... Yeah. No surprise here. It was
I like the setup they got there with the vignettes the week before. They really got you there. I thought it was a mistake from before when they made an MMA rules match. What they should have made it was a fight pit is what they should have made it. And a fight pit match would have been fun and it would have been interesting. Shayna going over is interesting. Shayna being in at the top of the women's card is interesting. Ronda never got to the second step as a professional wrestler. She started off hot. She picked it up super quick, just like Logan Paul or something like that. But the charisma's a void. There's none. And she just never got better. She just kept plateaued and never, ever improved. Unfortunately, this seems like this is it for her. But not forever, don't get me wrong. This is not it forever for her. But I think she's going to be gone. She will absolutely have another match before her career's over at WrestleMania or something. She'll be back several times beyond this. But she's done for now.
That's the beauty of wrestling. It's never really over.
Yeah. Ron, I mean, there's no question in my mind. When she goes in the Hall of Fame, which will happen, that she'll be having a match at WrestleMania against Becky or against Charlotte or against Bianca or someone. She'll be around. She's not done forever. But it just didn't work because she didn't improve.
Or SummerSlam Underground-esque match would have worked here. I agree. The fight pit.
The fight pit. That's why you have the fight pit.
Fight pit is one of the most unique thing I think they've come up with.
Recently.
Punjabi prison.
It's one of the since the Punjabi prison. They could have done a Punjabi prison match.
They should do more Punjabi.
Yeah. You got to get Indu Share into a Punjabi prison match with somebody. You have to.
The
Viking Raiders? The new share Viking Raiders, Punjabi prison.
I don't think
that would be pretty fun. Yeah. Viking Raiders beat them in the Viking match. What they call the Viking match?
It was just Viking rules.
Yeah. Viking rules. Okay, so they win Viking rules, and then what are they going to answer with? Jinder Mahal, the modern day Maharaj, tells them, "Let's go ahead and do Punjabi prison, boys."
They can't do Viking rules anymore because Baron Corbin burnt their ship.
That's right, he burned all the ships.
All right, so that one was not the best.
No.
But this match here featured the return of the Giant, Omos.
Yeah.
Under the tutelage of MVP, Montavious Vontel Porter. He comes back as a little surprise, the beginning of the Slim Jim Battle Royal.
Yeah. A
lot going on here. Omos eliminated several guys, including Apollo Crews, JD McDonagh, Rick Boogs.
Nice to see him back, though.
Yeah, good to see him back. I want to see more of Rick.
Still finding a slot for him now.
Yeah, he's got too much potential. I mean, they're just waiting to break him out big time.
I don't think that's I'm starting to worry a little bit about Rick Boogs. Not because he doesn't have a lot of talent, because he does have a lot of talent. He does have a lot of charisma. They're having a hard time finding the right niche for him. I actually think when he came back, they should have put him and Shinsuke right back together again. Worked to a breakup there because they want to turn Shinsuke heel anyway.
Yeah.
Boom, there you go. Then you got Boogs as, really giving it to Shinsuke, even if he comes up short because Shinsuke cheats. You get a little boost there. They just kind of put him and Elias actually was starting to – I would have liked it. I was interested.
Yep, it was entertaining.
But then I don't know what happened, but they just got rid of that completely too. So
everybody teams up, tosses Omos out of the ring, and of course at the very end, who we all thought
– Everybody's saying
L.A. Knight gets the win here, guys. He eliminates Sheamus. They make up for the botched move they had the night before in the match, which was a nice little touch.
Yeah.
On things, I think.
Yeah.
We all thought this was tailor-made for LA to get the win, and he does, in fact, get the win. Len, we talked about this. They need to capture lightning in a bottle here with LA Knight, and I think they're trying.
They followed up by having him on Raw, which he's obviously not on Raw, but he was on Raw.
Big move.
Him and Miz getting into it.
I like it.
Great promo battle. That's a perfect next thing for LA Knight. Miz is a measuring stick of sorts where, once you can go toe-to-toe with him on the mic and also get a win over him, it does help you. Miz has an unbelievable resume. Yeah, he loses all the time now.
Yeah.
But it's still, these moments matter. And I think LA Knight more than held his own on Monday with Miz. And they got some good personal digs in there a little bit. You know, LA Knight saying, you know, you got kicked out of the locker room. No one's going to kick me out of the locker room. No one's ever, I'm not going to leave the locker room. You know what I mean? Whatever. And that's, I thought that was pretty good. So, yeah, I'm excited for that to continue. You know, probably get that at Payback, I suppose, maybe. Uh-huh. And sure. That'll be a nice win for LA Knight. As far as the rest of it, yeah, Omos coming back. You know, is Omos and are Omos and MVP in any way connected to the new Hurt business of Lashley and the Street Profits? Uh-huh. Because we saw Friday Night on SmackDown a new side of the Street Profits, vicious side, angry side. Love that.
Well dressed,
excited, well dressed, just attacking both teams. They don't care what's going on. I love that.
Yeah, curious. That's a great.
I love that they needed them. Something like that. And this could be really good, them and Lashley. Now, I wouldn't mind Omos being in there with them either. But to me, if he does get in there, I would have Omos have zero matches. No matches. He could just be like Satnam Singh out there standing around and hitting people, whatever. Uh-huh. And MVP obviously would be good. But I'm not sure they need MVP when you have Ford. Do you know what I mean? To do the talking for you.
Yeah, Montez is great.
Montez on the mic. You know, and Lashley's serviceable and has got much better too. But, unfortunately, if you have Bobby as the leader of that faction, he's got to talk more than Montez probably.
Right.
If Montez talks, he's going to elevate to be the head of that, which could be a good Rock Farouk kind of thing where you recruit him in, like Farouk recruited the Rock in, and then next thing you know, the Rock's doing all the talking. Next thing you know, Montez is doing all the talking, and Lashley's getting pissed. I think that could be pretty cool, too. So
yeah, that sounds good.
Yep. Interesting. But back to the LA Knight promo, because I thought this was interesting. CM Nick texted me and said he thought it was a little bit long.
Last week I felt like all their stuff was a little bit long, so it might have been just in my head, but I did feel like it was a little long.
He did stumble over his words a couple times. And I got in a panic, and I texted like, "Oh no, this isn't going good."
This is when the comic dies.
Yeah, and then I thought they missed it. They missed it. Their chance. They're feeding him to Miz to really test him. And if he stumbled on his words, and it's little things like that I think we take for granted. Like I stumble over all of my words all the time, you know. But if they see that in a promo against Miz, it doesn't go well.
That's what they're looking for.
But
for sure.
I think he's fine. I think he's fine.
Recovered fine. Yes. He handled the promo fine. I agree. I mean, it was probably a little longer than he usually does. Yeah. And I think that's by design to test him to see how he does in a longer feud with somebody else handling a lot of talking. But you don't want him to be just catchphrases. As much as catchphrases are cool, he can't be just catchphrases.
Right.
So I think that was a good move by them to get him out there, give him a little bit more time to talk. Yeah, he slipped up a little bit, but nothing major.
Nothing major.
Nothing major. He recovered well.
Yep.
And I think he's just fine. But you do have to have more of a character than just those catchphrases.
You're right.
So he gave a lot of validity to his character in that promo. I thought it was a great job.
Yeah, and nobody is better than The Miz at kind of pulling stuff out. And they're looking for him to be able to react to that and feed off of it. And nobody is better at reacting to insults than The Miz.
Right, exactly.
So I'm very interested.
That's why they did it. I mean, this is a perfect move to put him in there. It's perfect.
Yeah.
Because Miz will say stuff to you to get under your skin. Very easy to get under Miz's skin, and there's so much ammunition, you know. Yep. But also, Miz doesn't just take it. He has snips back, so you got to be able to react. And I thought it went off really well.
Yeah, I love the setup in the back where Miz is going to his photo shoot, and it's Night taking it. That was a perfect setup.
For sure.
Miz TV, I mean, he'll have LA Knight on or something. I mean, there's a lot of – there's gold there.
I'm anxious to see what happens tonight on SmackDown because, you know – Miz isn't on SmackDown, so could we see maybe a Grayson Waller effect with LA Knight, the winner of the Battle Royal, and then Miz is a surprise guest on it? Waller brings Miz out because they had their little moment in the Battle Royal as well, where they're kind of Spider-Man memeing each other. And I think you could see, I would guess you'll see that tonight. That's what I would book for tonight. Grayson Waller effect with LA Knight, the winner, and then Miz's music hits. Miz comes out. You get another little back and forth with Waller in there as well, who's Waller's gonna, he's gonna be a main event player.
Yeah, yeah. He's the next Miz.
Yeah, at minimum.
Yeah. I would get Maryse involved. Maybe have her start to feel a little bit of the Kevorkian.
Oh, I always love Maryse. Anytime you can get Maryse, get her in there. Maryse is amazing. Not only is she just drop dead gorgeous, but she's actually just great at character work. Yeah. Really, really good.
Yeah. Underrated for sure. Yep. Ooh wee, as they say. All right. Intercontinental title match. Gunther defeats Drew McIntyre without Angela, right? He didn't have
Angela.
Did he have Angela with him?
He's got Angela with
that. I missed that. See, you just need to get that.
I'm done with Angela. We know how we feel. It's got to go a different direction.
Yeah.
Or Drew, but another, you know, solid match. I don't think there's any complaint about this match. To me, this is just what you're going to get. A couple big guys slapping the hell out of each other, hitting hard. I like the decision with Gunther. I'd like Gunther to break Honky Tonk's record, although I have a little thing I heard that it made me interested about.
Where did you hear this?
On a different podcast that I listened to. But this is not a dirt sheet thing or anything. But I was thinking, you know, I wanted to beat Honky Tonk's record for sure. However, this other podcast host is great. And I really like this idea. He thought that if they really lean into that Brett record, and also now that Chad Gable's the number one contender after the Fatal 4-Way on Monday, if you have Gable and the Alpha Academy leaning into that record and like saying how much he loves the Honky Tonk Man, respects him, dressing possibly all three of them like Elvis, like in a Honky Tonk Man thing out there, just really harassing Gunther. Gunther likes to respect the ring, you know what I mean? And he's going to be real pissed these guys are playing jokes the whole time. And you're leading up to Payback, Gunther versus him. And like, I don't know how Payback falls, but it's really close. They need to find a date, the date closest to when he would break that record. Like, if it's the day before, if you could get something right around the day before he was going to break that record live, and you get the title match then, and Gunther's so just like fed up with all their stuff, maybe he makes a mistake, boom, he falls a day short because Gable pulls off the upset. Ooh. Gunther falls a day short of that, and that really drives him to the next level where he's like going after the main title because he's so pissed off that he came up a day short.
That could be the catalyst.
That's a really good idea.
That could be the catalyst you need for not Marcel Bartel.
Ludwig Kaiser. Ludwig
Kaiser. Because there's a little dissension there, a little angst.
Yeah.
That could be where he could come out and say, you messed up.
Yeah.
Gunther. And then that could kick off.
You're right. That could work. I could turn Gunther's face if you wanted to.
Very condescending to those guys and demeaning to them. Yeah. CM Nick, does that make sense to you?
It makes a lot of sense. And I just want to say, Gable, in ring, he is strong as a bull, and that's the type. The matches he puts on are the type of pro wrestling I enjoy.
Yeah.
It's very good paced. It all makes sense.
Yeah,
I really like him. I'm not big on the shoosh, but it doesn't bother me.
Right.
I think he could have a little bit better gimmick, but
you'd like him to be a tad more serious.
Yes,
I agree with that. But I will say he's the only person other than Angle that's ever pulled off this where you're like a goof, but still in the ring. Get all the credit, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He's not quite the Angle yet, but he's close. And this could be the step to take him there because the shoosh, while it's silly, obviously, is important. They're a comedy act.
Keep
you know
them
what I mean?
Relevant.
Yeah, they are a comedy act, but guess what? You still don't want to fuck with either one of them.
No.
You know what I mean? That's kind of their gimmick, and that makes a lot of sense. So, I mean, Gunther's as good as it gets. Gunther is absolutely one of the best wrestlers in the world. Like, I know, you know, you would never see his move. You can't put him up with Kenny Omega or any of these guys, Rollins, that have more ability to do more stuff. But as far as believability and intensity and just a solid, solid matches, one after another, every single time, Gunther's as good as it is in the world, I think. He's just amazing.
Yep.
He was good here. I have no problem if he keeps the belt. I just thought that was an interesting idea to have him lose a day short, which really drive him, you know, into another level.
Mm-hmm.
Because you do want to get that title off him because he is next for like Rollins or Finn or Shinsuke or whoever has that.
Maybe Roman.
Or Roman.
I take that too.
Yeah.
Yep.
So
big Walter fan here too.
Huge.
Yep.
Or Gunther.
Except for sure. No problem. No problem. We We can break kayfabe here a little bit, Debo. All right, world heavyweight title match. I thought this one was a really good one, boys. Yeah. With all the interaction of the Judgment Day and the briefcase, Seth Rollins retains. He gets the win over Finn Balor. 7 years after the inaugural Universal title match, where was it when Finn came away with the win?
Yeah, right? But that had a forfeit. Yeah.
Right, and he had the seven painted on his shoulder. Okay, and Rollins gets the win with the curb stomp on the briefcase because of a little, perhaps a little flub, a little misjudgment by the Judgment Day and Damian Priest. I thought this was a really good match, just front to back, and then you have the kerfuffle at the end and the increased tension within the Judgment Day. Not enough to push her over the line. Rhea's trying to do her best to keep everybody in line and keep everybody on the same page. But, Len, overall, I thought this was a great match. Do you agree?
Yeah. I mean, these two can do, you know, they're as good as it gets, too. You could have had... You could have an hour match if you wanted to, whatever you want to do here. But I did like it. I liked the ending. I thought it all worked really well because before throwing the case, and he was trying to give it to Finn. Finn kept saying, no, I'm going to do it without it, blah, blah, blah. So then he throws in, perfect throw. I actually don't think it was a bad throw. No. I just think Finn, like, hesitated.
Yeah.
Finn hesitates. And then, falls victim to the stomp right on top of it. I thought it all worked perfectly to keep the attention. Now, JD McDonagh's been added in the mix on Monday a little bit now. So there's some, you know, him and him, Finn are obviously close. So there's some more tension there. Is he going to join? Is he kind of Finn's guy? Blah, blah, blah. We don't know yet, but it's interesting. They later jumped Sami Zayn, who was supposed to be in the six man's. So a lot of stuff happened there. But I will say, I thought it was a good match, and the ending finish was perfect to me.
CM Nick, any thoughts on this one?
Well, when you got two of the best modern wrestling style workers in the world, it's going to be hard to mess it up. Only thing, Seth's gear lately has been kind of not feeling it.
You didn't like those big props he had on Monday?
Not that. All his last pay-per-view gear, I just haven't been feeling it. And I used to love his gear, but he's one of the best to ever do the modern style, for sure.
Yeah, now I could see, I mean, I think we got a ways to go with his Judgment Day kind of inner turmoil. I think you're going to see the Demon come out eventually again and finally get a win over Priest somehow, or Balor is going to cost Priest that cash in.
Yeah.
And that's going to lead to another level of this story. Everyone's saying that, you know.
The only other thing I'll say about that is I don't disagree with you, but all the dirts, reports of the dirts
here we go.
Are saying.
You always pique my interest when you bring up the dirt.
There's a lot of talk in the dirts that WWE wants Judgment Day as their number one faction to, you know, at least be on the level of the Bloodline, or when the Bloodline were to dissipate, then you have them as their new faction. I've heard that several places, several times. Mm-hmm. I don't disagree with that. I love the Judgment Day. I actually think breaking it up is a mistake right now. I wouldn't do it. I don't mind the tension, but I wouldn't pull the trigger on it.
No.
And as far as adding pieces, I don't... No, I mean, I'm not a McDonagh guy, as you know, but, they are like at one spot. I could see an addition or two making it even more interesting. They don't really go with those big factions anymore.
Right.
But if you got McDonagh in there and potentially a lot of Valkyria from NXT, who's had the issue with Rhea and has been also kind of mentored
being
by
tested.
Rhea.
Yep.
I think that could be cool. As far as an aesthetic, when all six of those people were in the ring, you know, stuff like that. But I just don't know. I don't want to break them up. They're doing great work. I don't think they should break them up. So, I just would like them to stick together and try to figure out a way to get past the briefcase with them still intact. I would like it.
Yeah. I mean, it's. I don't think they have the acting chops that Roman and even the rest of the Bloodline and Heyman have.
No.
But to reach that level of storytelling. But I'm intrigued wherever they go, whether it's to follow up the next big thing of the Bloodline or to kind of run in parallel as you head into Mania. CM Nick, any other thoughts here?
I just think they can extend that storyline, for they can ride that horse for another couple of months, I would think.
And whatever JD McBobblehead is doing right now, I like better than his kind of Dr. Mangala gimmick that he had in NXT.
I mean, I think like him being Finn's like muscle-ish, not really muscle, but like his Finn's right-hand man, I like that idea for something for him for sure.
Yeah.
You gotta do something with them.
The old Irish buddies, Irish pals.
I mean, he got tossed like yesterday's newspaper by Omos.
But I think he could be a lesser guy in an important faction.
Yeah, for sure.
When you need that in a faction. Everybody needs a stooge.
That's you need it, exactly.
I don't know NXT well enough to call him a stooge, but it sounds like that's a...
Yeah, I mean, he's a talented wrestler. People are high on him as a ring talent. Whatever. He's a weird looking dude.
Yeah. Go home and Wikipedia Dr. Mangala and you'll get a feeling for what his
check it out
his gimmick
sure.
was. His gimmick, he liked dissecting human bodies basically.
Yeah.
In weird ways. Very creepy guy. I didn't like it at all. All right, here. The women's match, guys, was also very exciting with a little surprise at the end. Bianca Belair initially gets the win over Asuka and Charlotte, becoming champ for a very short period of time.
Yeah.
Because here comes Io Sky and Bayley. And I think we all thought maybe that Bayley would somehow get involved here, maybe even cost the cash-in attempt. Everything seems to be in harmony now. Io Sky cashes in on Bianca, gets the win. Any thoughts here, guys? I mean, I know, Len, you and I are huge EO Sky marks, and I want to see her go to the next level into the stratosphere if they can.
Mm-hmm.
And there's also, Len, I think you dropped a little, I think it's confirmed now, and I saw it in the dirts as well.
Yeah.
I don't like to talk too much about what I see in the dirts, but I think it's confirmed, right?
Yeah.
That her partner in crime, Kairi Sane, is coming
on her way back. Yeah. Kairi has multiple. Sources have reported that she signed back with the WWE and will be back probably in short order. So that makes Asuka that interesting for sure. What's going to happen there? The match was really good. Mm-hmm. I mean, the crowd wasn't into this match, which hurt it a little bit. I think,
it did hurt it.
I think to me, it was difficult for them to decide who to root for. Do you know what I mean? Because even though Asuka's the heel, they like Asuka. That half the Charlotte's just a polarizing person, period. Like, some people do like her, a lot of people hate her passionately. And then Bianca is a baby face, but also, she's kind of been shown a little bit of a sharper edge. So you're like, you got all these tweeners like working in here, three of them together. And the crowd really never got behind any one of them. But the work was pretty good, obviously. These three are unbelievable talents. And, the ending was interesting. I liked how the end of the figure eight, Asuka miss Charlotte and then misses the kick, though, on Bianca. Bianca, the quick roll-up while still in the figure eight, which I thought was really innovative, gets the three. She's the new champ, blah, blah, blah. But then not only does Bayley not get in the way, Bayley clears the way for Rhea with the briefcase shots to Charlotte, to Asuka and Charlotte, and then EO hits the knee again with a briefcase. And the thing I want to highlight here about this cash-in, very important, is they did it like it used to be, where you fucking cash it in and then you just win. You don't have to wait till they're ready again.
Yes.
That's not how it used to work. Uh-huh. That's the whole point of the briefcase, right? So she hits her in the knee, boom, to the top, over the moonsault.
Steps
one,
on
two,
her.
Three, boom. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Love it. I absolutely love Asuka. I'm sorry, EO winning here. Would have been fine with Asuka holding on too. Either one of those results would have been fine to me. We didn't need another Charlotte Reign. Bianca needs to be pushed down a little more before she comes back up, in my opinion.
Yeah, yeah.
And whether that's as a member of this new Street Profits faction, could Bianca be in there? That would be interesting. That'd be cool. So anyway, but I love it. I'm so pumped for Io. Dakota was there in the crowd. She comes in the ring to celebrate. So Damage Control, which has been widely considered a failure as a group, I think. I'm a little less down on it than most because I thought that it's kind of worked for what they were trying to do. But with Dakota getting hurt, seemed like Bayley and EO were on the verge of breaking up, but now back together. However, I still see going forward, my money is on Bayley playing kind of a Christian Cage role with Luchasaurus right now, where she's saying, our belt. She's holding it all the time because obviously Io's not going to do a lot of the talking. Bayley is.
Taking all the credit for their work.
Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. So I still think that's probably where we're headed, where we'll see Bayley and Io around the time Dakota can get involved in the finish would be my guess.
Yeah, and I can't wait to see Io with the belt. I think her entrance is awesome. I think she's got a presence. The only thing is missing is her English, really.
Yeah.
So hopefully Bayley helps with that, helps progress the story. I'm very excited to see Io with the belt. I'm glad she won it. I think she was a big player in NXT. I think she'll carry it well, and I'm anxious to see if Kairi comes into play.
Yeah, I mean, if the Kabuki Warriors are back, buddy, count me in.
Yes.
I mean, that team's great. I want to see the insane elbow more than anything. One of my favorite finishers of all time by Kairi. I love that elbow drop.
What was Kyrie's nickname? I know
the Pirate. Pirate Princess.
Pirate Princess, is that it?
Pirate Princess, yeah, right? That's right.
You're talking about NXT when she was in NXT?
Yeah, and then she has always been a pirate.
Right, a pirate, but...
Pirate Princess, I think.
Yeah, Io's Genius of the Sky, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
I think it's Pirate Princess, right?
That sounds right.
I want to say it sounds right and wrong.
It does. I kind of think the same thing, but...
Anyways, I hope that little wheel and the looking glass back. The wheel was a bit, little
I
wheel.
Love the telescope and the wheel. It was great.
Was there ever actually a telescope, or is that one of those
telescopes, right, that goes out? I think that's called a telescope also, right? It's like that one of those gold ones that like
it's unfurls. It's more of a telescope. I'm going to say it's more of a
spyglass.
Spyglass is.
I think it's called a telescope.
Did she ever actually have it though?
Oh, all the time, of course.
This is like Richard Simmons in a headband type thing.
Are we going to Mandela?
She had the handheld wheel.
Are we going to a Mandela effect? Shout out Jerry Curran, Jerry Tucci.
Yeah, it might be.
I don't know if it's a Mandela effect or not, but I swear she had that.
She should have. She should
used
at least
throw it for sure on that stage.
Or did she just do it with her hands? She had the wheel.
No,
sure. She could have both, but she couldn't have had both. She couldn't have the wheel and the glass.
She had it. Was gold. I can see it right now.
I think you're thinking of that gif I All right, the big one here, boys. Roman Reigns wins over Jey Uso, exactly how I predicted.
Yeah, we're all over that.
With Jimmy coming back and costing Jey the match, breaking up the pin when we all thought Jey had it in the bag. Jimmy reveals himself, super kicked, see you later, Jey. And then tonight we have the, what is it? The, what are they calling it? The Hail to the Chief?
I don't know what it's called.
Or something.
Go Steelers.
Tribal something. I don't know what it is.
I'm pretty sure it's Hail to the Chief.
It could be Hail to the Chief, is
what the segment's called tonight. Any thoughts on this one, guys? I mean, obviously, this just continues the story. It's the big breakup of the Usos. They've been apart before, but they've never been at each other's throats. And here's where we're going. CM, Nick, any thoughts about this?
Yeah, I mean, the finish was how it should have went, in my opinion. While Vince McMahon's there, he's never going to give his top belt to a tag guy. And my only thing was, it's great to have a quote-unquote hardcore match or no-holds-bar match to pay off a feud. That's what they're for, in my opinion. But why, if a tribal council rules, you think they would have enough respect to keep it one-on-one and keep Sokoa out of it? Because it kind of took away a little bit for me, but
that's a good point.
Yeah, I mean, I understand what you're saying. Like, it seems like it was supposed to be a match of respect.
Yeah.
They even came together on the SmackDown forehead to forehead. Like, he stopped Solo then from getting involved. So it seemed like it should be a man-on-man victory. So we're not done yet. I mean, tonight, Roman could be pissed at Jimmy for getting involved. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
He could be berating Jimmy tonight for getting involved in a tribal combat. You know what I mean? Yeah. We don't know yet. But I agree. I think the match itself was a little long, certainly, and a lot of Roman's matches start this way, and it's intentional. It's not like he can't go faster. It's a slow, methodical style early, almost always. And that's for him to piss people off. You know what I mean? I mean, that's for him to play into the thing that Roman can't go and Roman's like not a great wrestler. That's why he does this stuff. So he starts the matches slow. They ramp up towards the climax. But in this instance, the match drug a little bit for sure.
Yeah.
And the Jimmy surprise by the time wasn't a surprise. It got virtually no reaction. Now, obviously, we'll see Jimmy and Jay, I would assume, at Payback in Pittsburgh, because Roman won't be at – Roman's not coming to Pittsburgh. Let me tell you right now. No. Steel City, Stairway. he ain't coming to Pittsburgh. He wouldn't step foot in that godforsaken town. Oh, come on, man. But, he's not going to get acknowledged there. So we're going to see the Usos one-on-one, which is cool. But also, I mean, it's sort of a disappointment, a minor disappointment to me. I think Jimmy and Jay should be on a bigger stage, to be honest, for the first time ever, and potentially the only time ever, if you were going to say it. You know what I mean? Like, they've never broke up. They've never wrestled. You'd kind of like it to be on a bigger stage. So who knows? Maybe they won't do it right away, but I'm sure they will.
Yeah, and one thing I wish is that the Elders would get more involved in the story.
I agree. They had
a nice vignette.
They did finally get a vignette, yeah.
Yep, so that was good. They explained the whole meaning of the lay and kind of the background of the tribal combat.
Describe the meaning, but not... I want to know their opinion, like their side. What are they happy with Roman?
That's what I'm hoping for will kind of lead to the next part of the story. Now...
The Usos battling and still solo there. Obviously, Rikishi is right there waiting to get used. It seems like Rikishi's young enough, fit enough. He can show up to these shows and do a couple weeks of storytelling. But in this, try to stop them from fighting, do something, try to keep them from fighting. I would hope he'll come, be like, hey, we're not doing this, guys. That would be pretty cool.
Then Roman just fires back and says, the last time you were here, you were dancing like a fool, making
three
of our fans.
But then Solo spikes Rikishi. Boom. This is happening. Then maybe it's a three-way at Payback. Maybe, who knows? We're not sure.
Maybe Solo gives Rikishi a stink face.
He might.
Here we go.
Yeah. Yeah, okay. So we'll see.
Maybe Rikishi gives Solo a stink face.
Okay. Or Heyman should get a stink face, I think, at some
point. If anyone should get one, it should be Heyman.
Right. Now, rumor is, and I saw it via the dirt on a forum I frequent, that Roman might have been injured in this match pretty early on.
I heard a minor injury, but I don't think it matters because he's probably not wrestling for 6 weeks anyway.
Right.
So,
That could just be a plant.
Right.
Head from Stanford.
Right.
To make an excuse.
Yeah, I mean, he's not wrestling at Payback. Yeah. He probably won't wrestle again until Saudi, if there's a Saudi show in October, I would guess.
Saudi's always the wild card in all this.
Yeah, but they want the big ones. He'll get there. He'll be there for something.
So that's a good wrap-up of SummerSlam, boys. So we left about 8-10 minutes for the AEW alley, which increases our AEW coverage nearly tenfold, hundredfold, thousandfold.
We talked a little up top about it already, too.
Yeah. So we're well above.
We're hitting our quotas.
We're well past the quota already, pal. CM Nick, I know the AEW is near and dear your heart. We're going to call this little segment the AEW alley. Because it's fitting for that promotion. And Ali is grimy. It's the mud show of routes.
It's not a street.
It's not a street. It's not an avenue.
It's not a highway to hell.
It's not. Obviously, the big thing right now, CM Nick, is the bromance of the century, I think they're calling it, between Adam Cole, Bay Bay, and Maxwell Jacob Friedman. Now, I was in on this. Okay, until last night, I think it jumped the shark. CM Nick, what's your thoughts on this bromance here and where it's headed?
So it started out great. I agree. Last segment was a little bit too hokey, and they got a little bit confrontational. I did like the line where he called him pale, so pale that Hogan would have snorted him in the 80s. Yeah. That was probably the only pop I got from it. Normally, anything MJF does, I'm popping. And Adam Cole going into it, I respected him entering for sure, but I didn't, other than his song, I wasn't really invested, but he has got me on board, so that's good for Adam Cole. It's good for AEW to build up another guy. They're going at the biggest crowd ever in England. It should be good.
In the history of wrestling.
History of wrestling, guys. Tony Khan booked it.
See him, Nick, what's your thoughts on them wrestling twice now in the same show.
I'm going to challenge Aussie Open for the Ring of Honor title on Zero
Aussie
Hour.
Open. We're all here for Aussie Open.
Yeah, right.
For the ROH tag team, which I understand Len, we saw Cole at an ROH show.
We did.
And obviously,
a lot of history.
A nice little background he gave for once as to why that tag title would be important to him because he never won it. But what's your thoughts on them rolling those guys out twice in one show?
It is Tony Khan, so you don't. No one in the world knows what's going to happen. But I would think that would set up a little bit of more heat before the match, get it a little bit more brutal towards the end, and get them really mad at each other. But that's just off the top of my head where I think I would go. But it is Tony Khan.
Yeah, so. I mean, it's this thing has been pretty good. I'll say. I've liked this the whole story pretty much. Last night was a down point, but I'm not going to be done with it because they had one bad week. If it's not my favorite week. The whole thing with Roddy Strong is so odd because he's so whiny and it's just so whiny and like a girl, like honestly, like an ex-girlfriend. It's so weird. I don't get it at all. And now he's aligned himself with the Kingdom, which Taven and Canellis or whatever his name is, Mike Bennett.
Yeah.
I don't, you know, whatever. I don't care. But, the whole thing's odd. I still think the goal out of this is the double turn-ish move where you're going to get Cole, stab MJF in the back. MJF's then the baby face. The I'm your scumbag. You're our scumbag thing. That's like a big... I think we're going to do that. And I don't know if we're going to make the title switch. Is Cole going to be the champ? I'm not sure about that at All In. But it's interesting. The tag match is total bullshit to get people in the door, you know, for 0 hours, what that is.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, that I could care less about that tag match. Aussie Open's a joke. But in speaking of Ring of Honor, I will say, I think they're, you know, some of the moves they've made on the Ring of Honor roster and some of the stuff's going on over there is very compelling, actually, and probably is just shows how bad AEW missed the boat with some of these people, just like WWE, in my opinion. Because Samoa Joe is awesome.
Awesome.
Over there. He's great promo on Saturday on CM Punk. Yeah. That match will happen at All In as well. Samoa Joe has been awesome over there, but he's stuck on Ring of Honor, which I don't see. And the other person is Athena. Athena's been unbelievable over there. She's cutting great promos, having great matches. Her and Willow Nightingale, one of the best women's matches you'll ever see.
Yes.
And they've used Willow a lot over there, who I'm a humongous fan of. Mm-hmm. I just think Ring of Honor is doing some good stuff. Unfortunately, those people were on AEW, and they could have been, these people could be on AEW. Like, imagine Samoa Joe, well, he was the TNT champion, but imagine him as the Intercontinental title, whatever the fuck they're calling it, that, Orange Cassidy has.
International champion.
Yeah, whatever. So if they had him versus Orange Cassidy for that, would be awesome. That would be really good. And Athena, I mean, since Statlander took the belt off Jade, that belt has zero juice, none at all, 100%. Don't even know it exists, basically.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And that's a shame because Statlander's good, belt. Too.
That's their women's champion.
But you can't have two women's champions. They're not. They don't give the women enough time to have two women's champions.
They don't have enough talent to get through five women that can actually work.
And the other thing is, I think they have a little more talent than they're giving credit for in there, but none of them get any time to show it. You know what I mean? Like, Britt is a subpar wrestler, but is a good talent.
Personality.
Yeah, a good talent. Toni Storm is a superb wrestler.
Probably my top girl over there.
Yeah, Sheeta's very good. I think
Jamie Hayter, but she's
Jamie
hurt.
Jamie Hayter's good, but she's hurt. That was unfortunate. You know, I think Athena is great. Willow's as good as any girl over there for sure. So they have talent there, but they're not giving any time to it anyway. So what does it matter?
Again, I think the theme here is there's just too many pieces in play for the whole company, and he tries to get everybody.
They snatched everybody up, and then they snatched, and there's just too many people. Yeah. Like you could cut. You know,
all the Japanese guys stop it.
You don't need MPG and PJW. You don't need New Japan NJPW anymore. You don't need that alliance and those guys coming in all the time. You don't need that.
Takeshka's good though.
Takeshka is good. He's got for sure.
Potential.
Yeah, he does.
I like the heel turn there.
But you got, like, just think now you have, you know, on Ring of Honor, Joe, Athena, those people were on Ring of Honor. Then you got You know, they're just bringing Miro back. He's done nothing at all. You know, some of these guys, but meanwhile, Wardlow. You have Wardlow, but meanwhile, you have Butcher having matches every week.
Like
some of these people could just be gone.
House of Black every week.
House of Black's good, but they don't do anything with them. Like, I like those guys together as well, but like, they should either be winning all the time and getting like world title matches. If they're not going to do that, they're just happy to be the trios champions. That doesn't make any sense to me. I don't know. There's a lot of holes in their plans.
That's the problem with Tony Khan. He books it how we booked our G.I. Joe Federation in our basements when we were 8 years old. He doesn't make arches and storylines and ups and downs.
He's trying to make everybody happy.
Yeah, and it's not the wrestling business.
And it's match-based. Which there's a crowd for that. Don't get me wrong, but it's a niche crowd. It's a niche crowd.
800,000 people.
Yeah, you have to get something. You have to tell stories. At least Cole MJF's a story. When you get these stories, they're okay. You know what I mean? But if you're just gonna do, you know, Penta versus Claudio, like, cool. I mean, that's a cool match. Whatever. They're gonna have a great match together. No one understands why they're wrestling. Yeah. Nothing happens. It's weird. And they have Claudio, even him, like, people are like, Claudio, he's on Ring of Honor. So you don't even, but he's wrestling on Dynamite every week in like tag matches or whatever.
And a perfect example of that is they just had the Hardys versus the Wish.com Rockers.
Yeah.
On the last show, you could have got a pay-per-view match out of that and build it up for 4 weeks or whatever, and they just throw it on a throwaway Dynamite? Yeah. I don't get it.
Parking lot brawl?
It's just...
Moxley just comes out immediately.
The BCC is like... BCC has fell... To me, I thought that was like gold when they had Regal and Brown and Danielson.
When they had Regal
and Danielson, I was like, this is going to be cool. Yeah. This is bad now. I cannot stand Moxley. No, stand Moxley.
Preach.
Yuta's nothing to me. Yuta is an absolute nothing. And Claudio, I think, is good. But again, he has no charisma whatsoever. And all this like tough guy beating people up stuff, this like gimmick is just it's dumb.
Immediately bleeding. I mean, to me, it's just a bunch of guys saying, I'm doing this tonight.
Yeah.
And then Tony says, okay.
Yeah.
And that's what, and then he has no way to pull it all, rein it all in and make it make sense. I mean, there's just way too much going on, way too many opportunities.
You'd think they'd sell Bucks Hardys or something for sure. Even though the Hardys, I mean, Matt Hardy is made of stone. I mean, he can't even move. His legs don't bend.
He's made of wood.
Yeah, like nothing moves. He doesn't move at all. He's done. Jeff Hardy, God bless him. He looks okay, but like, he's just a ticking time bomb. Mm-hmm. I mean, as of this point, and even if he's not, he's ticking time bomb because of the injury. I mean, he's just a beat up man. Yeah. You know what I mean? At this point, you know, you get the Jack Perry turn. So now Jungle Boy's gone. Jack Perry's in. Okay, let's see what happens. He's going after the old ECW guys. Interesting. If you can get him versus Taz.
Right.
That's what's interesting. Yeah. If you can't get him versus Taz, I don't give a shit about Jerry Lynn. RVD was okay, but he looks old for sure.
A little bit barrel-chested.
A little barrel-chested for sure.
But he looked good.
But he held his own. Yeah, he held his own.
So the way I would have did that angle, which Tony Khan... You give it a squash match against Dreamer because Dreamer can still go through the motions. Quick squash.
Yeah.
Then RVD, same match. And then you pay it off with Bully Ray because he can still go too a little bit. And he's a monster.
Yeah, but the reality is what's going to happen is Hook's going to come back and win that title match.
Beat him.
Taz involved somehow.
Taz in his corner.
I want, you know, I know, I don't think, speaking of barrel chested, I don't think Taz can really go anymore. But I want Taz to like hit one T-bone. Tazplex, one half and half, something on Jack Perry before this is over. That's all, at least that. And you could have at least had him beat Jerry Lynn, then RVD. I mean, Jerry Lynn, I'm sure, can still have a 10-minute match. You know what I mean?
Sure, for sure.
And he's the easy one for them to get a win on. Jerry Lynn, who cares? And then, yeah, you're right. You could use Dreamer. You could use Bully Ray. Yeah, sure, if you can use Bully Ray, I would be all right with that. But I don't want Bully Ray to lose to Jack Perry. I think Jack Perry would lose the ball.
Deep down, no, but.
But, you know, I mean, Taz would be interesting. Yeah. If you could get him in there with Taz, at least a scuffle. You know, Taz doesn't do anything. I mean, he's, I'm pretty sure he's not capable. He doesn't look like he could go at all. But
I mean, it's, you know, whoever's willing, Tony will pay for it. He paid for Pantera.
Yeah,
for RVD to come out.
Sure,
come
that
on,
is man. One thing I
would honestly. Give, why wouldn't you?
I do give Khan credit for that, though. Yeah. He does get the good tunes.
Get the music. Who gives a shit?
Yeah.
If I could do that, I'd do it all the time. Everyone. You have so much fucking money. Who cares? Yeah. Like, I can pay to use Pantera every week. What do I have to pay? Boom. Sign it. Oh, let's do it.
Yeah. Phil Anselmo will give it up in no time.
Yeah. I mean, it's no dude. I mean, when they used Many Men for the guns was awesome.
I like their original theme better. Their
Many Men's so good, though. I'll tell you what, too. That, speaking of that, though, the guns, like, I kind of hate Elite Gold or whatever, Bullet Club Elite Gold, whatever it is. Like, I think they suck, honestly. I don't know what the thing is about Switchblade, but he isn't interesting to me at all.
No, I think Juice is could at least be the interesting star. Yeah. I think he could be the star of that.
I bought into the guns now. I think I like the guns.
I think they.
I think they're like kind of interesting and funny, and like they. I don't know.
But in AEW, they just get lost in the shuffle. I mean, look what happened to the Acclaim. They're flashing the pan. They're gone.
Well, now Billy Gunn hung them up. Daddy ass.
Sure he did. Sting's back.
Sting's back. Of course he is. Sting is, I mean, I always respected Sting. I was happy when he came back. All that, whatever. I'm so out on Sting and Darby Allin. I mean, I couldn't be any more out. I hate the Mogul affiliates, but I hope they smash Darby and Sting so bad. The whole thing. Swerve deserves better.
Swerve's good.
Swerve deserves better.
I wish he was still in NXT.
I wish he was still in WWE/NXT.
He would have a great program with
Mello. Even as a single, you don't like Darby?
I don't. No. I've never been a Darby. No, I don't think. His style is interesting. Like,
he lays it in.
Until he starts talking. Immediate killer of the whole persona.
I don't like his charisma. I don't like his character. I don't like the videos that they've done with him and whatnot. In ring, he's pretty good, though. I do like the way he wrestles. Yeah. I hate the coffin drop as a finisher. I think it's terrible. But that's me, personally. I love his suicide dive. That's awesome how he hits. Yeah, you know, reminds me, like, we've talked about Dragunov. They hit kind of the
same. He's amazing.
Dragunov's on another level. Yeah,
everything's so rushed, and a good example is that whole storyline with A.R. Fox. Yeah. The men, like,
that same night.
We didn't even know they were friends. Oh, no, they have vignette. We were friends. You let me stay on
his couch. Stay on his couch.
And then they turn, like.
That night, he turned.
That build over a month.
Yeah, for sure.
And then pay it off.
And, like, let people know who A.R. Fox is. They could have went weeks with that. Where they said, like, you know, because they obviously are hinting at the fact that A.R. Fox had some sort of addiction problems or something, because he said he couldn't be around him anymore. Like, let's go into that for a couple weeks. Let A.R. Fox talk himself about how he hit rock bottom. You know, Darby was on his couch. Darby really gave him the reason to, like, try to get back up. Blah, blah, blah. It could have been interesting for sure. Immediately that night, just fucking, nope, that's over. He's fucking Prince Nana now.
And then you got a guy, and then you got a bunch of guys who are dressed like moguls, all right?
Yeah.
And then you got a guy who looks like a dollar store bloodline character.
Yeah.
And this is all, again, like, if this was WWE, somebody would say, take that shit off and put on some fucking jeans or a leather jacket or something. Like,
I mean, I love an Islander gimmick. Don't get me wrong. I'm a big Islander guy. I've been my whole life.
But they're moguls.
But, dude, I know. He shouldn't be there. He doesn't make any sense there at all. They're mogul affiliates.
Oh, jeez.
But they're also mogul embassy, but they're also mogul. They're just moguls.
Yeah, they're moguls already.
But Prince Nana, I mean, he's just hiring guns. You know what I mean?
I don't like that dance he does, the Swerve song. It annoys me.
I don't. I mean, I honestly, in that whole situation, actually do think Swerve deserves better. Swerve could be a top of the card guy, in my opinion. There, he's good. I don't. His gimmick's not quite like there yet to me, but I don't know. Like, at least he's off of Parker Boudreau and that other dope.
The cats all over.
Yeah,
Trench.
At least those guys are gone.
But one thing about A.R. Fox, I've been watching pro wrestling since like 1990, whatever. Yeah. Right. I don't know if you guys noticed this, but when he does his version of the Big Boot, instead of a thigh slap, he claps above his head. And yeah. That's when, yeah, next time you watch him,
that's why he did his wrestling. That's how he teaches it as wrestling.
And as soon as I seen that, he's on my blacklist. I will never respect you.
Yeah, I don't mind anything AR Fox has done. I haven't noticed that, but I don't mind AR Fox. It's an interesting story of veteran coming in, blah, 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 whatever. But, I don't know. There's just a lot. There's just a lot of weird stuff. Oh, speaking of an AEW/NXT crossover, how about Brian Pillman reportedly joining the PC?
I'm all in.
Brian Pillman Jr. This could be interesting. Let's see what they do with this.
I want to see him finish the story.
I'd really like him. I hope they lean into him being Brian Pillman Jr. That's my thing. Or is he going to be like Chauncey Jackson here, like, you know, this underdog or whatever.
Sean Stevens.
Yeah, who knows? If he could be Brian Pillman Jr. and come in there right after Braun Breaker, boom. Right after Breaker.
With a gun.
Yeah, with a gun. Go to Breaker's house with a gun. That's what they should do right away.
In an old, like, Stingray Corvette.
Yeah. I would love to see him come in and go right after Braun Breaker. Yeah. That would be cool.
We'll put him in the random generator for sure. CM Nick, if you want to come on, I'm programming some new software that randomizes wrestlers that need repackaged.
Oh, I'd love to. That'd be awesome. This is a blast.
Who do you think needs repackaging? Pillman or Braun Breaker?
I don't think I'll put Breaker in there.
No, Breaker doesn't.
Not in the population. No, Pillman will go in because he's a fresh start kind of guy. McIntyre is going in. Forsworth, guys like that.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Guys that need repackaged. Maybe a Ricochet. I'm not putting Reigns in there.
Maybe a Boogs.
There you go.
Boogs. Now we're talking. Yeah, I mean, it's going to be a surprise. I'm not going to give you
that. Yeah, I don't want to. Population.
Guy, you know, I'm not going to put Sheamus in there. He is who he is at this point. Guys and girls who need repackaged. And the random generator will spit some names out at us 1 week. And then the next week we'll come back
with
our proposals.
Nikki Cross. Yeah, there's some girls we can see.
Exactly. Well, we spent a lot of time on AEW. I like how CM Nick came in, immediately broke kayfabe. He was really supposed to pump it up, and I think he just trashed the whole thing the whole time.
It's like a train wreck. You can't look away, and that's why I watch.
That's a great example. That's a great analogy.
I watch it because it's a major pro wrestling brand that's on, so I watch it.
And it's good for the business. And I root for them.
So happy Collision's on. Now, Rampage, I don't watch anymore because Rampage was just terrible. Yeah. But Dynamite and Collision are both watchable shows. To me, they're like later Nitro. You know what I mean? Like, I was still going to watch them. They're not anywhere near as good as the other program, but I'll still watch them for sure. And I think Collision's been actually much better.
I'll watch wrestling anytime it's on. I watch old Impacts, anything like that. I just love it, and you should too.
What about WOW, Women of Wrestling?
I watch that as well. Yes, Len, that's
real weird.
That's the Genie Bus promotion. Yeah. That's real studio wrestling.
Yeah, that's real studio. There, the characters. AJ Mendez on commentary.
Nikita Lyons got her start there.
Yeah, there's some interesting gimmicks on there.
What's her name? Kiera Hogan wrestled there for
similar to Glow back in the day, but a little more serious, but still those real, real janky gimmicks.
Well, I DVR'd it, but I haven't seen any new episodes, so it must be a little fly by night as when it comes on TV.
Yeah, it's very hit or miss. I agree with that. It seems very hit or miss.
Just watch wrestling, everybody. Yeah. Crying out loud. Forget football. Forget Eric Carlson and the hockey. Forget Snake on Puck, except in emergency situations. Just watch wrestling. CM Nick. I really appreciate you coming in here and talking.
Yeah, thanks for coming on, Nick.
Oh, thanks for having me. This is a blast. Great show.
We got to get out of here because we got to watch our Steelers dink and dunk.
You guys got to get stairway time.
Super Bowl championship, ladies and gentlemen. For CM Nick and Len Biggs, the champs are out of here.
Out. These other whack podcasts to hit the showers. We the best, numero uno. We like the sumo. Up against the straw weight, our content's great. We talking sports, pop culture, the squared circle and all. You shanky on the mic, mixed with Jinder Mahal. And we support Heyman's had enough.